Yeah, Rick, and a lot of these energy companies are really cranking out the revenues and paying down debt and rolling off hedges. So pretty good setup for the oil and gas stocks, even despite the recent pullback. One sector that we absolutely have to talk about, though, that's still on the commodity side of thing is gold and the precious metals. We saw the same kind of, I guess, concept you were laying out at the beginning of this, that it was a buy the rumor and then a big time sell the fact. Gold was up around 1976 in overseas trading. And then right when the COMEX opened, it dove down to 1920, 1910, and then it's now in the 1880s. So what do you make of the recent pullback in gold here?
Gold went precisely to, I mean, precisely to its upside target. I mean, I think within 5, 10 bucks of where we, the target in gold that we had was 1962. And as you say, we got to, what was it, 1975 or so on the high, 1978 and change. So we hit the target on yesterday's open and then have been falling steadily since. There should be theoretically support down to about 1785. So I'm not ready to buy here, but if we got back to, I don't know, maybe 1860 or maybe a little lower, I'd buy because then I have at least a defined risk that I can play against. And I'd probably use something like 1780, 1785. That level is where this recent 3, 4 week move started. And if it is going to be something, then that level needs to hold. So, the funds got very bullish gold quickly on this move up. They're trapped now. And I can tell it's interesting. In the fund that I trade for, it's a fund of funds. So I'm one of the PMs that there are 87 of us across the globe that are in this commodity fund. And I can tell basis, my ranking currently, I'm in 13th place for this quarter of the 87 portfolio managers. And I can tell what we can't see anybody else's positions, but I generally can get a sense of what they're long or not, because on a day like this where, and yesterday where gold got hit and oil got hit, I move up in the rankings because I don't have a gold position on currently, and I was short oil, so it makes me realize that, the funds are long oil and long gold. So I think there's still some trap players there, and I'd let it sell off more before I'd potentially take a stab at it.
Well, I know the gold bugs are going to be pretty disappointed to hear that we could be dropping right back to that $1,800 level. But if gold can bottom, let's say 1780, that would be another higher low for the sector. Rick, does time frame matter on let's call it correction in gold right now? Because quite frankly, it was just over 3 weeks that gold moved from 1800. It was stuck at 1800, shot up well over 1900, closed in on 2000. If we see that quick of a correction on the way back, say in the next couple of weeks, does that play into your analysis at all?
Well, it does to some extent. If you were to look in the fourth quarter of last year, starting, I guess it was late October, open interest shot up in gold futures along with the market moving quickly higher. And it peaked 2 weeks later, and then gold gave all those gains right back down and went from, I don't know, 1875 right back to 1750. And open interest came right back to where it had been beforehand. So the money that came in left, and it came and it the commitments on both the longs and shorts were in and out quickly in a matter of a month. This move up here, open interest has moved up, but it's already running out of steam and didn't even take out the high from November's peak. So yeah, I do kind of look at the speed at which things happen, and it tells me that there's a lot of short-term money playing gold. And it makes sense because the long-term picture is much more difficult to play. It's been in a trading range for, I don't know, a year and a half already. And so if you go back to fourth quarter of 2020, when we got to, I don't know, let's just put it at 1900 or something like that, 1950 is the peak. And then we have multiple bottoms at what, 1675-ish. We've been in that range for a long time now, and it's just super choppy. And when you see something like this happen, where we spike up and come right back down after hitting the same highs that we saw on the first week in January of 2021, it's range trading and you're still towards the upper end of the range. So I may probe for a little bit as if it comes back down more, And I do like the long-term fundamentals for gold, but this is a tough market to make money in. There's so many other markets that are more trendy than gold that when I say trendy, I mean that they trend more and they put on an established trend like the grains. You know, it's a lot easier trading the grains and has been for months than trading gold. So I have, luckily, I'm not a portfolio manager that has one particular sector that they need to trade, meaning that, you know, I'm not just a gold trader, and too bad if you are because you're stuck in whatever the market gives you. I can trade anything, anywhere. And it's why I have not had a position on in gold in possibly a year. It's just not something I really see that there's much vig in playing.
Yeah, Rick. And really, gold is in a unique spot in someone's portfolio in that it's an insurance against financial chaos and to some degree geopolitical. And we've had so much focus the last two or three weeks on Ukraine and Russia and geopolitics. I think a lot of people have lost sight that the Fed is getting ready to start their rate hikes just in a couple of weeks. They've just wrapped up their tapering and they also want to reduce their balance sheet. So that's really an environment where gold may play more of a role. How do you think that this Fed rate hiking cycle will affect the precious metals? And do you think it will give them a bid, or do you think the rising rates will pressure gold because treasuries will look more attractive?
I think the latter. I don't think higher rates are going to be particularly good for gold. So you're going to need to have some other impetus to get gold going to the upside. Now, maybe it's a weaker dollar. The dollar's kind of stuck right now in a range too. Had a false breakout to the upside. When it crossed 97, it's come back down. It's just sitting there. You'd really need to see, I think, the dollar, you know, come off several percent in order to help gold to the upside. But the thing about gold is, historically, it's a hedge against inflation. Well, it hasn't been at all. Look at where the inflation numbers have been, and gold hasn't really gone anywhere, other than what we just got this lift because of Russia, Ukraine. Otherwise, gold was just sitting on either side of 1800. It's your store against things going crazy in the world. Well, you know, that hasn't really helped a heck of a lot. Gold has definitely lost interest. And Bitcoin and, you know, crypto in general has taken away some of the luster from gold as being the hedge. It doesn't look like it's been a great hedge against inflation. It doesn't look like it's been a great hedge against uncertainty. And I'm still kind of a long-term gold fan. I have gold in my personal portfolio. I'm long a variety of different instruments, GLD, PHYS. So I do have exposure to gold, but it's a small piece of my portfolio. And it's just, you know, it's very much in line with the traditional have a few percent of your portfolio in gold. And I do. But beyond that, it just hasn't been something that caught my interest. Not recently.
Is this something that we need to potentially say times have changed for gold in terms of the investment outlook? Maybe it is the younger generation that hasn't had those shocks that the older generation has, and they are looking for different assets that provide a bit more torque to their portfolio. But it's one thing that I've been a bit cognizant of too, Rick, is that, look, the general perception around gold doesn't seem to give it the same torque when we do have some of these long-term, or at least what we've been told are long-term bullish factors for gold, not driving it higher. Now, we do need to consider gold is, let's say, right in between 1800 and 1900. This is a strong price for gold. We're also at 30-year highs for inflation. Interest rates are historically low. Has gold lost its luster, and is it going to be able to get it back?
Well, first of all, if you go back and look at the performance over the last 20 years, gold's done nicely. So, you know, we are near all-time highs in relative terms. Go back to 2015, gold was, you know, $1,050. So in the last 7 years, this has, it's not quite a double, but, you know, it's up 80% or so. It's not obviously what the stocks are up during that time, but it's done well. But I think it makes sense when you think about, I'm guessing I could be 20 years or more older than you, Corey. And you're right. My generation looks at gold differently than yours. And even, you know, if your kids were older than they are now. So I have a daughter who's 31, another one who's 28, and a son who's 23. Gold is not something that's on their mind as a potential investment because they hear about these crypto millionaires, right? People who, you know, make money quick and the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, and these people who are young people who've made a lot of money quickly. They're not looking at gold as a place to make money or as an investment. So I think you've probably, yes, you've probably lost that newer generation to generation and a half of people who look at gold as a place to put money. There's other places that I think they would turn to more quickly than gold if they were looking to either have a hedge, and most of them don't even know about hedging. But in their minds, this world of, you know, you get a text and how come it's 10 seconds later since I sent you the text, you didn't respond to me, what's wrong? You know, they want instant gratification, and you're not going to have it from gold. It's just, it's not that type of instrument.
That's pretty funny, Rick. Yeah, they want instant gratification. But, you know, we did hear a lot about Bitcoin in particular. It's different than the other cryptos in that most other cryptos have a use case. You know, they're built on the DeFi platforms and smart contracts. Only Bitcoin really has the same characteristics as gold in that it's scarcity, that it's not got that third-party counterparty risk, and that it's seen as a store of value. But, I mean, I would make the exact same argument you just made for gold against Bitcoin. When the high inflation numbers came in November, December, it got chopped in half, and gold didn't get chopped in half. And it said it was a store of value and it's a currency. But if it's a currency and it drops by 50% in 2 months from November to January, is that really a store of value? And is that how a currency moves? So maybe it's just
not.
So isn't it more of a tech stock, really, is what my question was. Well, is it more of like a speculative stock?
It's completely speculative. And obviously, anything that moves with the percentage moves that this thing does is completely speculative. And I've told you before, and I'll say it again, I advise, you know, it's the same thing I do for myself. Set a certain amount of money aside to, quote, invest in crypto, and basically close your eyes, understand that you could lose 100% of it, and in, you know, 5 or 10 years, go check out where it's trading. Because if you try to, unless you're a good trader, you try to, you know, manage a portfolio of trading Bitcoin, you really have to be a trader. You have to believe in the concept. And I've put a very small percent, it's not even 1% of my entire portfolio, into crypto with the thought of, okay, I'm in at a certain price and I've seen it double, and I've seen it, I mean, much closer where I'm in Ethereum. It's much closer now to where I first got in. So I've seen my entire profits go away, but I'm not looking to trade it. I'm willing to put X amount of dollars into this as a long-term investment. If, you know, for some concept that I don't even totally understand, but I'm willing to play a little. And down the road, when I'm a lot older than I am now, I hope it's worth, you know, a good chunk more than what I put in. But beyond that, I know people who have 50% or more of their total net worth in crypto. And I've warned them so much about doing this. And they're just believers. And when you see an asset, you know, class, in, as you say, in a couple months, Jad, go from, you know, all-time highs to 50% of all-time highs, that's not something that, you know, I want to have a heck of a lot of money in. There's over, I saw something on CNBC the other day, I think it's over 30% of all investments in crypto and in Bitcoin are now underwater. That's a heck of a lot of people with losing, you know, with a loss on their books. You certainly can't say that about stocks or, you know, most other asset classes, but crypto you can, and you've got to be willing to, you know, play the ride. Go for the ride and, you know, be willing to lose it all, because if you're in the wrong coin, it's possible, you know, how many coins are going to exist in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now, in 20 years from now? How many new ones are going to come along, and will Bitcoin still even be the predominant name when you think of crypto? I don't know. The bulls tell you yes, but the problem with the bulls is they don't want to hear any reason that they might be wrong. So you've got all these people who are just complete fans of the concept, and regardless if the price is $10,000 a coin, $50,000 a coin, or $100,000 a coin, it's always and thereby going to be higher down the road, and they're just going to stick with it. So how much of your whole portfolio do you really want to put into something like that, you know, with that much gambling involved? To me, the rule of investing is to make sure that you always have your positioning and your risk management is such that you can always come back and play the next day. And not just the next day, but 10 and 20 years from now. And I don't think putting 50% or more of your investable dollars into a crypto market that has not been able to prove anything over time, except that it's incredibly erratic and it's the greater fool theory, right? If you buy it, you just need somebody to be more foolish to pay more than you.